Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACRTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. And it is the 1st of August, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have everyone with us. And I'd like to extend an especially warm welcome to Sri Kadakji, who is the Nihaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. He is the leader of this very, very ancient teaching, and we're very happy to have him with us for every show to impart the teachings of ACRTA to those people who are interested in hearing more about this spiritual path that brings us to the goal of spiritual mastery. Sri Kadakji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. And one thing that I didn't express when I was talking a little bit about the path and you're speaking about it is that we will go into the basic fundamentals as well as some deeper points of this teaching for those who are interested in hearing it. And with that, I'd like to begin by asking you, because there's some people that are here that haven't been with us before, and there are many people that have, so bear with us. Where does this ancient teaching come from? How did ACRTA begin?
I see. That's a very difficult question from the standpoint that it's always existed. And then we have to understand what that means in terms of existence. When we talk about the four goals of ACRTA in the lower worlds are the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. So those are areas of existence. And when they don't exist, then there isn't necessarily a path because then you're in the liberation point. So having said that, we can go back to the basic fundamentals that the whole idea of ACRTA is to negotiate through those lower dimensions. And the lower dimensions are the planes of positive and negative, the negative energy and positive energy. And that would allude to the fact that the higher planes don't have positivity, but in reality they have what is known as pure positive, and then we just don't have the words to express the fact that there's no negativity really there other than the fact that you can't use the positive polarity. So not to get too complex with that, the whole idea of the ancient science of Sahaji is the practice of Sahaji, which is the out-of-body experience. When children have this all the time, and then they go to their parents and tell them that they've had it, but then the parents don't usually have a teaching to apply it, and therefore they sort of cast it off as a hallucination, I'll say. And then people, then when they come to ACRTA and they say, well, why does that happen? We say simply that that's the karma of the children in that situation. So we do talk about karma and reincarnation. And one of the experiences that one gains from accepting the path or stepping onto the path, applying and becoming a member, is immediately the interaction or the commitment to the living Sarosha Master of the time, they start working out their karma. And that means that they, once they step onto the path, they don't create any karma any longer. And then the question comes up, well, what is going on there? Well, then their life is one of dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A. That term is bandied around in the Eastern philosophy very much, but they really don't understand it. They call it the righteous life about dharma. But they don't really understand that dharma really is a karmaless life on the path of ACRTA. We have an exclusive on that because I say that we have a lot of exclusives because we have information that no other teaching has. But then the irony is only 1% can avail themselves to it because that 1 out of 100 has the ears to hear and the eyes to see, whereas 99 out of 100 are blind to the information. So it's a real interesting irony, don't you think so, Leslie?
Yeah, it is interesting, and it just comes down to that those who are ready will hear the message, and those Correct. That are not have to continue on in their search.
Mm-hmm. Right. So therefore, the powerful wisdom that we have in our message here tonight, again, can only be heard by 1%. The rest of the people will argue the point or persecute us, and it's not necessarily all right, because at the same time, that's the nature of the high path in an area of negativity of the lower worlds. And so therefore, they always say, well, why isn't Akita the only path taught? Well, if it was, there'd be no need of the lower worlds. See, it's sort of like a game, if you will, to negotiate oneself out of the reincarnation worlds that one has created over many lifetimes. So in other words, when we're first brought into this world as soul, then we start creating all this imagery. We start turning it out in maybe a million lifetimes before they step onto the high path. Albeit, I say, and we've had this discussion, whether people get an opportunity every lifetime, and maybe not every lifetime, but it doesn't take a million years to get an opportunity. Maybe every other one or something. I don't really care about that. My responsibility is to find the ready soul and give presentation to the public where the ready soul will hear the message and step onto the path. That's the responsibility of the living Sarosha Master Consciousness, and that's my responsibility as the temporary Mahaji, the 973rd living Sarosha Master, in the longest unbroken line of spiritual masters in history that goes back to 3100 B.C., about 5,000 years ago. But it actually goes farther back than that. But that's when we started numbering the chronology of 973. And they say, well, why did you do that? Well, I didn't really set it up. But the state of consciousness of the Mahaji did, in terms of the start of the Iron Age. And then we're able to actually write a book, a book of 300 pages or so, and describe in one paragraph each master, if we so desire to do that. And so what I'm saying is that possibility and affords a measurement of it in order to have a logic reference. But prior to that, the mastery has been in existence, but we call it the supra-annuated. They're really ancient masters. The Paramahaji is Rebazar Tars. He's the temporary leader when there's no leader, and the temporary holder of what is known as the Rod of Power, not necessarily a leader because it's not public at that point. Right now, the teaching of Akita is a public teaching, but often it's non-public, and it's called a secret path, and where the master would teach one-on-one to just a few students and wouldn't publicly give presentations. Right now we're fortunate that we can give public presentations, and we have maybe a couple thousand people in the world today from various countries around the world. But what they do is they seek the teaching to gain liberation in spirit, and then we can go back to the basic fundamentals of the essence of man in terms of that essence is what we call a soul, and the soul can be experienced as light and heard as sound. So we call that the sound current, which is a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear that people can hear often when they're in a quiet place. And that high electrical pitch is the essence of one individual, the individual soul, and they can experience it. In other words, we just don't talk about what soul is. We actually can have the experience of soul in this sound and light that we call the Sarosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A. And the foreign terms are higher Sanskrit. They're a language of higher vibration. And so we use those higher Sanskrit terms, not a lot of them, but just a few, to break into the logic pattern, because if we were, other teachers just use logic and they claim logic essence or superiority, I'll say, in certain teachings of giving you an idea that's better than somebody else. So it's kind of like a antithesis or an argument or a one comeuppance, one statement over another. But in Akita, see, by virtue of even the term of Akita, it doesn't really mean anything, but we give it a meaning. It means equilibrium or balance in English. And then people say, well, why don't you just call the teaching balance? Well, we use the higher Sanskrit words because it breaks up the logic, and then you just get a high vibration when you feel the essence of the term Akita or Sarosha, and then that raises your vibrations above the logic issues. So it's just a powerful position in terms of Akita presenting this so that people can feel the essence. And then what I'm going to do is turn it over to you, Leslie, so you can take us through a contemplation and explain about the huge chant that is a universal mantra that people can use to travel in Sahaji when they do the daily contemplation. So if you would do that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. It would be my pleasure to do that. And this contemplation is a daily practice, and it takes 30 minutes to do this. And we advise that you do this around the same time every day, because that 30 minutes does cover a 24-hour period. And it's very important because that's protection from spirit, and it's also keeping one in balance. And that's why it's so important to do this. This contemplation is something that we cannot force anyone to do. It's highly recommended that one do it if they want to speed up their spiritual unfoldment and gain the goals of self-realization, God-realization, spiritual mastery. Otherwise, their unfoldment is going to be at a much slower pace. Now, when one does this contemplation, it looks as if we're meditating, so we're sitting in a quiet spot. And if it's not as quiet as we'd like it, feel free to use your earplugs. We just want to get as much quiet that we can to oblique any of the outside noises that can disturb us. So we're sitting here quietly. We can have our feet on the floor. We can have our legs crossed in Indian fashion, Tower fashion. But the main thing is to be comfortable. We close our eyes. We have our hands folded in our lap, and we put our attention on the Tisratil, which is also known more so as the third eye, and that's one of the highest chakras. So we want our attention here gently, easily, without any kind of force behind it, but steadily. And when we put our attention here with our eyes closed, we're going to chant the word Hue, which is spelled H-U, and it simply sounds like I just said, except it's drawn out. Hue. So that immediately places us on the 10th plane, what's called the Anami Lok, the plane of where one achieves spiritual mastery when they receive that 10th initiation. Each of these planes does have a word associated with it, and the 10th plane is the word Hue. So Hue is of such a high vibration that it really is going to just cancel out any kind of negativity that's happening to you. Whether it's negativity on the inner or the outer, it will take care of that situation and write it into balance. So this is very, very important for us to put our attention here. We're not using any of the words that are so commonly heard on other paths, like Om is very commonly heard, but Om actually comes from the mental plane, the fourth plane, and is not from the higher planes. So we want to naturally put our attention on what's called the higher planes, where everything is pure, positive spirit, and that will bring us there, draws us to it like a magnet when we use the word Hue. So as I mentioned, we want to do this on a daily basis, 30 minutes minimally or is fine, but that 30 minutes is important to cover a 24-hour period, and it's good to be regular in our timing. If you're a morning person and you want to do it in the morning, then try to be around the same time every morning, or if evening works best for you, that's fine too, as long as we're leaving a gap of about 24 hours in between. Srikadaji, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, I really appreciate your explanation. It's always greatly appreciated. The contemplation, as Leslie said, it's not really a mandate, but it's highly suggested that you do it, because albeit when one steps onto the path, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the inner planes. To get to the inner planes, the neophyte, the beginner, needs to go within themselves, and eventually, like we were saying, the third goal is spiritual mastery. Then they learn direct projection. They wouldn't necessarily have to go close the eyes, but that's something that's much more advanced, and we don't recommend that in the beginning, because people need to learn to practice. They need to learn a simple discipline, that 30 minutes per day. And we're living in an area called the era called the Iron Age, and it's an era of undisciplined misbehavior, if you will, and therefore that discipline comes back into one's life, and they do this as a tempo each day that becomes a matter of a rhythm that we go to the inside, and then the outside becomes more balanced, and we can negotiate all the difficulties of the lower worlds, because it is difficult. And really the matter of the essence of man at the fifth plane, once we go through the four lower planes of the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, we realize that the essence of man is a happy entity that's full of joy and pure positive awareness. But prior to that time, there are these lower dimensional sheaths around soul. The physical sheath is the lowest, and then the astral plane, which is the plane of the emotions, is right above the physical plane. And then our causal plane, the third dimension, is the deja vu of past, present, and future timeline experiences. And then we have the mental plane, which is all your educational and constructive thoughts and things of that nature on the mental plane. So those four regions must be negotiated through to get to the fifth plane. And then the top of the mental plane is what is called the etheric plane, but the unconscious or the subconscious. And then psychology will argue that they're separate, but that doesn't matter. We're not really concerned about that opinion. The idea of the etheric plane is a dark region before the great illumination and light of the soul plane. And that is the self-realization point that one actually experiences. In other words, we can talk about these things all day long, but we're not going to, because we're only going to talk about 30 minutes here, right? So the whole idea is that getting this liberation is what's the prime objective of ACATA, is to get the ready soul to the fifth region and beyond. And that's our responsibility in our presentation in ACTA, is to present this path, this way, science or teaching of ACTA, so that that ready soul can get to that place where he doesn't have to be reincarnated again. Because anybody that's not on the path of ACTA presently must come back to this arena to get closure or learn to get to the high path so that they can work off their karma and resolve it. See, and it's really the individual forces their own self to come back because they haven't completed the mission, I'll say. See, so the whole idea of the human being that exists today needs to get back to the high element in their inner life, because when they pass away, if they haven't made it to the path, so that alludes to the fact that ACTA is the only path and the most direct path, and that's repugnant to people. But I'm always saying there has to be a center somewhere, and the center has to be called something. It has to have a name, and it has to have a leader, and the leader has to should be the way shore. And you know as well as I do, Leslie, the people on this path are very happy because they've come home. Like they say, a lot of them even say that. And I've been involved with it for a long time, over 40 years, in one form or another. My teacher is Paul Twitchell, and he's my revered mentor, who is the guardian of the ninth plane of that particular region, and has been there since 1971. So Paul Twitchell was my teacher, and he was the 971st living Tsurosha master at the time. And then he taught me and trained me for my position today. And then having said that, I've been the master for 26 years. And then I guide souls on the inner planes to this fifth region. And that's the responsibility, after said, of Akita, is to teach the Sahaji in the daily contemplation. When one tunes into the sound current, then they're traveling in Sahaji. There's motion, there's movement. When people close their eyes, usually they don't realize they're in a spinning mode. And it's a funny thing about, they say about inebriation, they say you have the spins, but in reality, it's the soul that's spinning. And then we learn how to see in that spinning soul, just like people see in the physical plane. But in reality, the physical plane is spinning also, but it's conditioning and tradition have made it look like it's not in motion. But then we still move physically around on this plane, and there's a motion in itself. You see, so what we learn is simplicity of the fact that the essence of soul is like a little tornado. It spins. And then we learn how to see in that particular arena on the inner. It's a real paradox. But the whole idea is to travel in Sahaji, or just Sahaji, because that means spirit travel, spirit and or soul travel, it, the movement of the inner motion. But the one word is Sahaji that we use. We don't use any other phraseology or out-of-body experience. That's just a definition. That was a short pitch definition that I gave for the blog talk, is that Sahaji is the original and true teaching of the out-of-body experience. Because when you leave the body, you're leaving the physical body and the essence is soul. And that soul needs to go somewhere. And the place it needs to go, minimally, is to the fifth region. But to get to the fifth region, you have to go through the four lower planes. All right? So that's the responsibility of the path of Akita, again, is to negotiate through those four lower regions and then get to that fifth dimension, which is the soul plane or the Atma Lok. The Atma is another word for soul. And one gets to the Atma Lok in the fifth plane, and that's the liberation point. Now, this whole idea is, like we said before, and they say, well, how do we gain mastery, which is the third goal? We have self-realization, God-realization, and Tsurosha mastery. And the whole program takes about 30 years, give or take. The discipline one who is dedicated sometimes goes much faster than that, but that's the general policy of Akita. It's about a 30-year program. At the same time, they say, okay, how much does that cost me? You know, you got 30 years of my life. And, well, it's free. See, so people can forget about that. Our responsibility is to find the ready soul and show them the way to liberation. That's it. It's not a money-making organization. And we think it's silly anyway to sell spirituality. When people look at that closer and they say, well, that's pretty amazing. Here's somebody who's not trying to pitch or get into my pocketbook. Well, no way. We don't sell books. We don't sell seminars. We don't take contributions nor donations. And people scratch their head, and I say, well, don't worry about it. Just forget about it. You don't have to think about that any longer. That undertow or that undercurrent, it's kind of like a dark undertow that we don't have. See, people don't even think about it. So it's all free membership. So if anybody's ready on this show, then you can send in an application to akita.com or akita.ancientscienceofsahaji@email.com. How far are we into the show?
We've got about 5 minutes left, so I did want to repeat the email address for people. That the email address to send in your application would be akita.ancientscienceofsahaji@gmail.com. No, I did get that correct, right?
Right, I had repeated it before, too, for those people that thought we weren't paying attention.
Anyway, and so we'll be happy to get your application. As we said, there's no charge for it as well. So it's just a matter of keeping records of when you joined and when you're ready for your initiations and, you know, and your progress on the path and to get what information that you need sent to you. I do want to mention that for those people that are not too far away in the Philly or New Jersey area, Philadelphia or New Jersey area, there is an introductory talk that's open to the public on Tuesday, August 11th at 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library at 1900 Vine Street. And it is open to the public, and it starts at 6:30 and goes until 8 o'clock. So you're welcome to join us there. If you'd like to come to that introductory talk, Sri Kadachi will be present. We'll be leading that talk. And we have about 3.5 minutes left, Sri Kadachi. Are there any other points that you wanted to add?
Well, I just wanted to say that when we do these presentations, albeit we sound pretty calm and decent people, I'll say, but there is a sense of joy and happiness because we're pretty comedic-type people. We like to laugh and have fun, that sort of thing. But when we give these presentations, since there's a lot of information, we have to get the data out to people as well. So it's sometimes not necessarily tedious, but we need to get out the basic fundamentals. So I just want to say that we're pretty fun-loving people and easygoing types. So we're not really waxing head trips or games or shielding and silliness. We're about helping people, like I said before, to ready soul to gain spiritual liberation and not do it in such a way that it's some kind of game or abnormality and things of that nature. We consider people that are ready a pretty good nature, that people in the path of Akita are not going through a lot of nonsense usually. And then we help people out if there are situations. But usually it's a matter of, I say, you're just fine the way you are. You don't really have to change. We change for you. It's an individual path. So the whole idea in terms of the basic fundamentals is to allow that individual to step upon the path and release some of the issues they've had. One will find that contemplation will help calm one's life and also get a better focus and increase their attention level. The whole idea of that daily 30 minutes is to help focus and get attention level. I think some of the issues of autism that is becoming very prevalent is autistic people are really about 3 foot outside of the body in sahaji. Of course, normal psychology doesn't really understand that, and therefore the contemplation can help some of these people focus and help their attention level. It does calm people's vibration and it's a very peaceful behavior. So it's not some kind of sinister or weird thing. But as I said before, the 99 out of 100 will put all sorts of tags and call it New Age or religion. And it's not a religion. As I said, it's a way, path, science, or teaching. Those four definitions, and not a religion, a metaphysical teaching, a cult force, or any philosophy or New Age. We don't align ourselves with New Age. We don't advertise in those New Age magazines or go to those festivals. So therefore, we're individual and separate from all of that because of the fact that we just don't align ourselves with New Age ideas. At the same time, we categorize that way. Or I guess we're getting finished here.
I apologize. We only have about 25 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. We invite you back next Saturday night. Please listen to the archives for other shows. And Sri Kadachi, a very deep thank you to you. And you have just a few seconds. I'll let you close.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Vishon.